Archibald says, good morning. Let's begin. So we left off on Daf Chof. Today's Daf is Chof Aleph. We left off on Chof Amud Beis. And we left off four lines up from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera said the following. Amar Rabbi Zera. Every suffix, literally about, remember this is a calendrical suffix, we go ahead and we push forward. Now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Four lines up from the bottom of the daf in Rashi. Pesach osukis biyodalit liyom shloshim shal adar v'shal elu machmas suffix shema kodshu bezdin. So what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that, remember, now we have a circumstance in which we have Sveika Diyoma. So we've already established this idea as to why is that in the diaspora communities. Remember, and we'll discuss that there are two different sets of diaspora communities. Diaspora communities that were close to Eretz Yisrael and found out about the real date. And diaspora communities that were a little bit further removed. And therefore, again, ultimately had to operate with some level of doubt and ambiguity. So it comes on Rabbi Zera Neymar Nachman and says that the only thing you have to be choshesh for is whether or not the Beis Din declared the new month on the 30th or the 31st day. But you need not ever be concerned that Beis Din went ahead and declared the new month on day 29 itself. Such what Rav Nachman is saying in Rav Zera is there's no such thing as a 28-day month, and therefore even when observing a suffix day because of Yom Tov, you only have to observe the possibility of whether or not Beis Din declared the new month on day 30 or day 31 of the previous month. So the Gemara goes right to the Memra. The Chameisar v'Shisra Avdinon are Beis Alo Avdinon. Is that to say that we only observe the 15th and the 16th? So we'll say this, for example, let's use Pesach as a model. So Pesach is the 15th of Nisan. So again, according to this model, what Rav Nachman is saying is you'd only have to be Choshe, you'd have to observe the 15th and the 16th as possible Pesach, but not the 14th, because the 15th and 16th would then reflect the fact that maybe Rosh Chodesh was the 30th, maybe it was the 31st day of the previous month, but you don't have to observe the 14th, because that would mean that you're assuming that Rosh Chodesh was potentially, that Rosh Chodesh was the 29th day. And says Rav Nachman, that's not possible. So the Gemara says, but is that true? But the truth is, let's look at a Pesach model. We should observe the 14th as a Sveik of the Yom, as a possible day of Pesach as well. Why? Dilma chasru al li'av v'chasru al el. We'll say for another reason. Granted, even if we accept the idea that you cannot, that you cannot go ahead and declare a new month on day 29 of the previous month, but look what could have happened. Suppose that let's just go to Sukkot. Remember, you can use Sukkot or Pesach in this model because they're both the same day of the month. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you should observe Sukkot on the 14th, 15th, and 16th. Remember, this is just the first day. Why? Because 15, 16, I understand, because maybe Tishrei was declared on the 30th day of Elul. Maybe it was declared on the 31st day of Elul. But the truth is you should observe day 14 as well. Why? Because maybe Av and Elul were both deficient. If Av and Elul were both 29-day months, then Einachinami, then potentially Sukkot could be on the 4th. Again, Sukkot is always on the 15th of Tishrei. But the idea is because of the suffix. Maybe if I have a suffix, maybe that Elul was a 29-day month. Maybe Av was a 29-day month. So maybe I should observe the 14th of Tishrei as well. To which the Gemara says, top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Trei Archi Chaseri Kola Islam. No, it can't be because, again, I will say, first of all, the idea of having two deficient months back-to-back is somewhat of a calendrical anomaly. It's not the norm. And therefore, if that were to happen, that would have a call. I will say, call means word would get out. Word would get out. And word would even get out to the diaspora communities, and they would act accordingly. If there's no call, if word is not getting out about it, then that is indicative of the fact that what? That you don't have to normally assume that there are two back-to-back deficient months. Therefore, you need not observe the 14th of Tishrei, but simply the 15th and 16th with one basic suffix. Was Elul a 30-day month or was Elul a 29-day month? Therefore, by observing days 15 and 16 of Tishrei, you cover your bases. So Mungo's weiter. Levi ikla l'Bavel. Levi went to Bavel. Bechad Sar B'Tishrei. It's a very interesting story. So Levi goes to Bavel on the 11th of Tishrei. Now, once again, what's the 11th of Tishrei? Isri Chag, right? Yom Kippur was the 10th. Yom Kippur was the 10th. So again, now we're up to the 11th, the day after Yom Kippur. Okay. Amar, so he's sitting there in Babel, and he says, Amar, basim tavshila de bavloi, biyoma rabba de ma'arava. Literally translated, what fragrant foods of the Babylonians that they are eating on the great day in Eretz Yisrael. Or in other words, what Ula was saying was, oh, by the way, just to let you know, in Eretz Yisrael, they established Chodesh Elul as a 30-day month, which means that today is really the 10th of Tishrei. Today is Yom Kippur. This day that you're eating on is actually in Eretz Yisrael. They're observing it as Yom Kippur. So, you know, eat up. You know, enjoy. So he says, wow, you're having such a nice meal. On the day that in Eretz Yisrael, they're observing it as Yom Kippur. So again, obviously in Bavel, they did not know that it was a 30-day month. Remember, again, under normal circumstances, Elul is usually a 29-day month. So they made the assumption, not hearing to the contrary, that Elul was 29 days. Therefore, again, they observed Yom Kippur on the previous day, what according to their count was the 10th. Levi says, no, Elul was a complete month of 30 days. And therefore, today, what you consider the 11th is really the 10th, is really Yom Kippur. So he says over the following. See, the Gemara goes right. So if you look at Rashi, Basim Tavshil de Bavloi, Achlu Lechem Lema'adon V'yom Kippurim Sh'aretz Yisrael. Enjoy the meal. Enjoy the bread that you're eating over here. On Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael. Hari She'bezin Ibru Es'achodesh V'yom Misan. Because Bezin went ahead and declared, again, that it's a full month, and therefore you're eating on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Amri Lei Asit. So they said to him, they said to Ula, Ula, are you willing to testify about this? I'm sorry, Levi, thank you. So the Gemara says, they said, Levi, are you willing to testify about this? So Rashi's Asid, v'nekabel aleinu v'lonocha. Okay, Levi, look, if you're right, obviously, we're doing the best to our abilities. If you're willing to go on the record with this, so to speak, then we will accept, meaning if you could state this definitively, then we will accept what you're saying. Obviously, again, we can't change the fact that we ate until now, but we can at least cease and desist from going forward. So what does Ula say? Amar Lahu, excuse me, what does Levi say? Amar Lahu, lo shamati mipi Beis Din Mekudash. So Levi says, the truth is, you know, I did not hear the Beis Din actually say Mekudash. So we'll discuss that there are certain months for which it's not just enough to know that the Beis Din declared the new month, but you actually have to hear the Beis Din actually say Mekudash, actually declare it. So Levi says, listen, I know what the Beis Din said, but I can't tell you, but I did not hear them actually declare the month. Rashi says, Lo shamati mipi Beis Din Mekudosh, lo oid lachem. The truth is, I can't testify to this. Da'amina lekamon, because we'll see actually it's on the days. I'll kulon shluchim yotzen mi ba'erev, kigonim lom kidshu biyom lamed, yotzen ha shluchim la'erev, lomar mu'ubaru, aval al-nisan v'tishrei afapi shodin shikichu l'machar biyom lamed alef, Shahare ein Rosh Hashanah nitcheh l'shloshim ushnai. Afilu achi ein yotzin ad sheyishmu mipi Beis Din Mekudosh v'ani lo shemat mipi Beis Din shlayisi b'mkom sheyashu sham hedrin sham. So we'll see on Amud Beis that there are certain months for which the witnesses do not go out until the Beis Din definitively rules Mekudosh, even though they're going to rule Mekudosh. And Tishrei happens to be one of those months. So Levi said, listen, I know what the Beis Din was going to do, but I can't tell you that I actually heard the Beis Din do it. So Rabbi Sai, the way the story seems to end, although it doesn't, the Gemara doesn't say it, is because Levi was unwilling to go on the record about what he knew to be the calendrical reality, the Jews of Babel continued with what they assumed to be true. And Lemaisa again observed their Yom Kippur on the previous day and just continue with their meal because they assumed this day was the 11th. Okay, the Gemara goes weiter. Machaz Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said the following. So also listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan said the following. We will see that the shluchim, the Gemara is going to discuss later on about that anywhere that the shluchim were able to reach essentially had the status of Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? That when Beis Din declared a new month, they dispatched messengers. So the messengers were able to get to a number of the diaspora communities. So whatever community they were able to get to would ultimately observe one day of Yom Tov like Eretz Yisrael. Because remember, again, the concept of Yom Tov Sheni is not, now it's a blanket din on all diaspora communities. But once upon a time, it wasn't a blanket din. It was simply a din in those communities that were not able to get word of Eretz Yisrael. So remember, there are a couple of months in which the shluchim go out. Two of the major months happen to be Tishrei and Nisan. So we'll say Tishrei because of, again, Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and Nisan because of Pesach and Shavuos. So what's interesting is the following. The witnesses were able to get further for Nisan than they were for Tishrei. Why? Because we'll say the halacha is, we'll see, the witnesses may not travel on Shabbos. They can't violate, they can't travel on Shabbos. So listen to this. For Chodesh Tishrei, they not only lost out on Shabbos, what else did they lose out on? They lost out on Rosh Hashanah. And they lost out on Yom Kippur. So there were potentially two, possibly three, possibly 4 days that they were not able to travel to get to the outlying communities. As opposed to Chodesh Nisan, where there's really nothing in the month before Pesach, they were able to get much further. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yochanan says that we look at where the Shluchim are able to get to on Chodesh Nisan, we look at where they're able to get to Tishrei, that any city that they're not able to get, let me say it differently, any city that they're able to, okay, we look at the range of Chodesh Tishrei. Whatever communities can be reached in Chodesh Tishrei, those are the communities that have to only observe one day. But any community that could not be reached in Tishrei, but could be reached in Nisan, still has to observe 2 days. Meaning, just because you can be reached in Nisan, you're not included in the one-day communities, you have to observe 2 days. Why? Gezeira Nisan Atu Tishrei. Out of concern that if we allow those communities that were only reached in Nisan to be able to observe 1 day of Yom Tov, ultimately they may get confused. Or I should say differently, if we allow those communities let me say this again, just to be clear. So two sets of communities. So there's communities that were reached only in Chodesh Nisan, and communities that were reached in Tishrei. So Ula says over here that any community, kol hecha de matu shluchei Nisan v'lo matu shluchei Tishrei, any community where the messengers are able to get their Nisan, but are not able to get their Tishrei, le abdu trei yome, they have to observe 2 days, gezeira Nisan atu Tishrei, out of a concern that if they don't, so the outlying communities may also only end up observing 1 day. Rav Aivu Bar Nagri, Rav Chia Bar Abba, Ikla Lahu Astra Dahava Matu Shluchei Nisan, Velo Matu Shluchei Tishrei. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Le Avdu Trei Yomei Tavi Ba'afa Pi She Gidu Lahem Shluchim Yom Kivi Aso Gezeira Nisan Atu Tishrei Shim Tanhi Geim La'asos B'Nisan Yom Echad Yinagu Gam Kein Tishrei Shelo Api Shluchim Pam Shetis. So we'll say, what's interesting about this is the following. So if you could imagine, what you could have is, you could have a community where witnesses can get there in Nisan, but witnesses can't get there in Tishrei. So you could have a very strange practice. Essentially, let's call it community A. So community A is too far. The witnesses can't get there in Tishrei, but they can get there in Nisan. So what would happen then, according to the pure model, for Pesach, they would observe what?
One day.
And for Sukkot, they would observe 2 days. So Ula says you can't do that. I keep saying Ula. Rabbi Yochanan says you can't do that. You can't have two different observances like that. Rather, any community that is only reached in Nisan and not reached in Tishrei essentially adopts a Tishrei model. So meaning, just like in Tishrei they're keeping 2 days of Yom Tov, so to what? In Nisan they're also keeping 2 days Yom Tov. Even though the witnesses could technically make it there in time. Why? Out of the concern that if they're only observing 1 day of Pesach in Nisan, they're going to end up what? Observing 1 day of Sukkot as well in Tishrei. That's the concern. So now the Gemara tells a story. Rav Chia bar Abba iklo libahahu asra. So both of these rabbis, Rabbi Aivu and Rabbi Chia, went to a particular city. And this was a city that was reached by messengers in Nisan and not reached by messengers in Tishrei. So both, according to Rabbi Yochanan's model, therefore what? They should always be observing 2 days of Yom Tov. Always 2 days of Yom Tov. But what happened? Va'avdi chad yoma. And the rabbis observed that the townspeople only observed 1 day of Yom Tov. V'lo amr luhu v'lo midi. But the rabbis did not say anything, meaning they did not tell the townspeople that their practice was incorrect. Shem Rabbi Yochanan, the Ikbid, Rabbi Yochanan heard about this, meaning he heard that Rabbi Aivu and Rabbi Chia were in this town. They saw this wrongful behavior, and yet they didn't say anything. Amr luhu, because Rabbi Yochanan said, Lav Amri Luchu, have I not taught you many times? Hecha de matu shluchi nisan, velo matu shluchi tishrei, le avdu treyomi. Have I not taught you many times that any city in which the messengers only reach in Nisan, but do not reach in Tishrei. So therefore, Rabosai, again, in that case, Avdu Treyomit, that they have to always keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Why? Gezer Nisan Atu Tishrei, out of concern that if they're only keeping one day of Yom Tov in Nisan, that they'll come to keep 1 day of Yom Tov in Tishrei. So also, Rabbi Yochanan was very upset at them, that the rabbis did not rebuke the townspeople. Okay. Rava Havaragil da Havayasi Batanisa Treyomi. Well, listen to this. Rava used to observe 2 days of Yom Kippur. He would observe 2 days of Yom Kippur because Rava said again, he was unsure about the actual calendrical reality. Look at Rashi. Avdu Batanisa Treyomi. Im Lailo Seyam. Literally, he would fast for 48 hours. Shema Ibru Bezdin Esachodesh. Perhaps Bezdin went ahead and declared it a full month. And perhaps, again, what we consider to be day 11 was really day 12. So he fasted for 2 days. So what happened? La'arta, so yeah, both listen to this. So, I'm sorry. Rav Avraga Deavias Vitanisa Treyomi. Zin Nachada Asht Ishtachach Kavase. And sure enough, the Gemara says, one time it turned out like him. What does he want to tell not like him? Like the story we saw before. Then one time indeed it happened that the people in Babel were mistaken about the calendar, and what they thought was really day number 11 was really day number 10, and so there was really Yom Kippur. So the Gemara is just pointing out that although this practice is a bit extreme, I will say, you should know, the Torah discusses this, says, why don't we keep 2 days of Yom Kippur? Meaning, we keep 2 days of everything else of Sfeikadom, why not 2 days of Yom Kippur? So the answer is a very simple answer. It's Iafshar, you can't do it. Meaning, it's not Shayach. Remember, you're talking about a rabbinic decree, so it's not shy for the rabbis to legislate in such a case like this. But in the pure iteration of halacha, the truth is it would seem to be that this would be the case. So Rav is saying, look, if I'm observing Yom Tov Sheni for everything else, I have to observe Yom Tov Sheni for Yom Kippur as well. Rav Nachman Yosef Betanisa Kul Yom Dikipure. Another Yom Kippur. So Rav Nachman was sitting and fasting on Yom Kippur. What happened? La'arta Asa Hahu Gavra. So listen to this, Rav Nachman. That night, so remember, imagine this scene. Rav Nachman now just finished Yom Kippur. Meila's over, Mariv is over. He's coming home. He's about to eat. What happens? Some guy meets him as he's coming home. Amalei lemachar yom rabba b'ma'arava. So and he says to Rav Nachman, oh, you're not going to believe it. Tomorrow is Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael. So what did he just tell Rav Nachman? He just told Rav Nachman that lemaisa, you're wrong about the calendar. Today wasn't Yom Kippur. Tomorrow is actually Yom Kippur. Amalei mehecha at. So Rav Nachman says, tell me, where are you from? Amrlei midimhario. I am from the city called Dimhario. Amrlei dam tehe achariso. Literally, dam tehe achariso means blood will be this man's end. And I will say, what Rav Nachman was saying was, damharya means dam mehira, quickly brings about blood. So Rav Nachman was upset at this individual. Why? He was like, you couldn't wait a half hour to tell me this. Right, let me go home. Let me eat something a little bit. And then you could tell me that it's really Yom Kippur tomorrow. And then I could fast. But now, essentially, you told me this now, right when I finished my Yom Kippur. Again, now that I have this knowledge, obviously, I can't ignore it. So I have to go ahead and fast the second day as well. Where are you from? Dam Harya, Dam Mehera. You're a person who brings about blood very swiftly. Kari Alei said about him, Kalim Hayurot Feinu. Quotes over here, the Pasuk from Eicha, literally our pursuers were very swift. So I'll say again, so Rav Nachman obviously didn't have the greatest feeling towards this individual. And the truth is, this individual did not exactly act in a sensitive way either. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Shalach li Rafuna bar Avin l'Rava. So I'll say Rafuna bar Avin sent to Rava. Kad chazis dimashcha tekuf. So I'll say that ends the Yom Kippur discussion. So the Gemara says, Shalach li Rafuna bar Avin l'Rava. So Rafuna bar Avin sent to Rava. Kad chazis demashcha tekufas teves ad shisar ben nisan. So when you see, listen, this is a very important disorder as well. When you see that the winter, kufas teves literally means the winter solstice. When you see that the winter extends ad shisar ben nisan means the spring. Meaning when you see that the winter is extending into the spring, abra lahishasa. Make sure to make an Ibur Yar. Make sure to go ahead and create a leap year. Below Tachushla. And don't worry about it. Tichsiv, Shamor Eschode Sha'aviv. Shamor Abiv Shal Tekufa Shebe Cholishim. So Rambam says, very important yisod. When you see, remember, when you see that the winter is extending into Chodesh Nisan, into what would be the 16th of Nisan, spring, make sure to go ahead and declare a new month. V'lo tachushla. And I will say, we'll see. Rashi says, V'lo tachushla lemeimar yichidahi v'lo na'avid kavasayu. So we'll say, don't think that the idea, what he's saying is, don't worry about it. Don't think that the concept of declaring a leap year is simply something that is not held as a viable option. Meaning, again, it's the majority opinion that the Beis Din has the ability to make a leap year. Now, why would you do this? Because the Torah says, guard the spring month. Shamor aviv shel tekufa sheyehe b'chodesh nisan. What we learn from there is that Chazal must make sure that the spring coincides with Pesach, or that Pesach coincides with the spring. So in other words, therefore, again, we'll say, and again, that's implicit in the Torah. The Torah calls, Torah Dafka identifies Pesach as the Chag HaAviv, and the fact that the Torah tells us, Shamor es Chodesh HaAviv, you have to go ahead, and literally, Chodesh probably doesn't just mean month, Chodesh means season. Guard the season of the spring, that tells us that Chazal are given a mandate to make sure that Pesach falls out during the spring. How do you do that? You simply do that by, again, inserting an additional adar. It's another interesting case, or interesting story. Rav Nachman said to sailors, people who are merchants who travel the seas very often, asun delo yada isu b'kviya diarcha. So once I listen to this case, these were individuals who apparently were going to be on the high seas during Pesach. So what was the problem? They're obviously without a calendar. So the shiloh over here is, when does Yom Tov start? And ultimately, again, when does the Isser Chametz begin? How are they going to know when they can no longer eat Chametz? So he said to them the following, Ki chazisu sihara dimashlim liyoma. Literally, when you go ahead and you see the moon, complete the day. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Last Rashi on the daf. Siharu dimashlim liyoma, shayareach mashlim me'oro imanetzachama. That when you see that the moon is up until the sun comes up, right? That the moon only goes away when the sun comes up. So the moon and sun are together. When you see it's mashlim, that the moon only stops being visible at the time when the sun comes up. The moon itself only darkens at the time when the sun comes up. When you see that, so the Gemara says, Bi'iru chamira. That's the time when you should get rid of your chametz. Meaning that's already time to get, that's Erev Pesach, get rid of your chametz. So Gemara says, one second. Emas mashlim, but when is that true? When the moon is visible right before sunrise? Bichamesar. That's true on the 15th of the month. Vaha anan me'ar beisar meva'arinan. And yet what? We get rid of our chametz as of when, Rabosai? As of the 14th. So it would seem to be that Rav Nachman's advice to these sea journeyers, these seafarers, would be a day off, which is very interesting. This is amazing. For those individuals who are traveling on the sea, and therefore what? Have an unobstructed view of the horizon, they can already see this phenomenon as of the 14th. Meaning we, who live on land, don't have an obstructed view of the horizon. Therefore, for us, this dynamic of the moon becoming visible right before sunrise is only something that we could see on the 15th. But in reality, it's already visible on the 14th. They could see it already on the high seas on the 14th. Therefore, he tells them, when you see that, know that is the 14th of the month, and know that that is the time to get rid of your chametz. Says the Mishnah, Amud Beis, Ashnei Chadashim Mechalalin Asa Shabbos. For 2 months, we allow witnesses to go ahead and be Mechalal Shabbos. I will say, what is this referring to? Rashi says, this is Edim Shiro Asachodesh. If witnesses see the new moon, so we allow them to be Mechalal Shabbos, to come to the Beis Din, to come to Yerushalayim, to give testimony about what they saw. Now, I will say, we're not going to get into it now, but there's a lot of discussion as to what type of Chil Shabbos is actually being permitted here. Does that mean they could do anything and everything they need to in order to get there? Or is it a more limited scope? What it means Chil Shabbos is what? That they can go ahead and go past their Tchum. They go past their Tchum. Or perhaps, again, there might be certain forms of karens. Just know, it's a big machlokas aposkim as to what exactly the license for violation actually includes over here. All right, so they're allowed to violate Shabbos for 2 months. What 2 months? I'm going to say, this means, if I see the moon if one of these 2 months I am permitted to go and be Mechal Shabbos, to go ahead and come to Beis Din to give my testimony. Nisan va'al Tishrei. What are the 2 months? Nisan and Tishrei. Why Nisan and Tishrei? Shebahen shluchim yotzin l'Suria. Because they both say, for these 2 months, the shluchim go out all the way to Suria. Suria is actually modern-day Syria. Ubahen mitakinon, mitaknin es hamados. And remember, those months ultimately were very important. Why? Because those months were necessary for the three regalim. Remember, Tishrei, again, is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not a regal, but it's Yom Tov. Yom Kippur, Sukkis. And remember, Nisan is Pesach and ultimately Shavuos. Ukishahaya Beis HaMikdash Kayim, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, Af Al Kulon, the truth is, witnesses were permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. They're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos for all the months to come and give testimony in Beis Din. Why? Mipnei Takanas HaKarban. Because of also, again, remember, there was a special sacrificial order for Rosh Chodesh, and in order to know when to be able to perform that sacrificial order, witnesses were able to be Mechal Shabbos to come to Beis Din. Look at Rashi. So Rashi says, Shebahem Shluchim, Beis Din Shokhan L'Sri, L'Hodiyah L'Gol L'Yom K'viyusam, Hilcha Chashivi. So we'll say, we will see again, so for Nisan and Tishrei, which all the Yom Tovim are based on, Beis Din would send out witnesses to the outlying communities. U'minatar Mechal L'Akulon, listen to this. Now, Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi says, really, mid the oraisa, witnesses should have the ability to be mechal Shabbos for every single month, not because of carbon, for reasons we'll see later on. But the rabbis did not feel it was necessary, because in most months, the truth is, it doesn't really make a difference if you know if the previous month was 29 or 30 days. It doesn't impact your religious observance. The only months it really impacts ultimately are Tishrei and Nisan. So those are the months that we allow witnesses to be Mechal Shabbos to come to the Beis Din to give their testimony, because those are the months which witnesses dispatches. Now, to be clear, remember, the Mishnah's license for Chilul Shabbos only applies for what? For witnesses to come to Beis Din to testify that they saw the new moon. When witnesses are dispatched to diaspora communities, they may not be Mechal Shabbos to get word out to the diaspora communities. That will see explicitly in Gemara. Abeis Chadashim Esulo, is that true that we only send witnesses out for 2 months and no more? So the Gemara says that's not true. After or Minhu, we learned earlier, Avav Chadashim Ashluchin Yotzer. We'll say we learned in the previous Mishnah that what? That witnesses go out 6 months of the year. Amar Abai Hachikamar, this is what it means to say. Al kulan shluchin yotzin mibayir. Oh, listen to this. Rosh Hashanah says like this: for all of the other months, meaning for the other four out of the six that were mentioned previously, the witnesses already leave that night. Meaning, Rosh Hashanah, remember, Beis Din proclaims the new month when by day. Remember, because Beis Din only sits in session by day. So therefore, again, so listen to this. So you have witnesses show up. Let's say the witnesses were cross-examined. They know the Beis Din is going to declare the new month. So what is the halacha? The halacha is, for four out of the 6 months, the witnesses leave, the shluchim, the messengers leave that night. They don't wait for Beis Din to declare the new month, because they know the new month is going to be declared. There's no need for them to wait. Look at Rashi. Shluchin yotzim ba'erev kigo nira ba'ala b'yom chavtes o ba'ala shloshim. Devadai kachu Beis Din, machar inami bechodesh meuber depshita lan shaviyom lamed alaf yiskadish. So we'll say the idea over here is whatever the circumstance, whether you saw the moon is clear, and therefore it's clear the Beis Din is going to be mekadesh the moon, or some other circumstance. So the shluchim, the messengers, don't have to wait until Beis Din officially declares the new month. Rather, what? They leave that night. However, va'anis al nisan va'al tishrei, but for the months of nisan and tishrei, at sheyishmu mipi Beis Din mekudash. And we'll say for those months, the witnesses do not leave until when? Until ultimately they hear explicitly from the Beis Din that the new month has been declared. Why? Look at Rashi. Al Nisan Val Tishrei, Ein Shluchin Yotzen at Shishmu Pi Beis Din Mekudosh. The Shluchin do not leave until they know for sure that the Beis Din said Mekudosh. Hilchach B'Shar Chadoshim Ein Chilu Shabbos Shal Eidim Maheres Yitzias HaShluchim Shin HaShluchim Mechalolin Shabbos Latzeis Hayom Shlo Yavo Eidim Maheres. Let me tell you the rest outside. So I'll say, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the Maisa like this. On Nisan and on Tishrei, where there's a lot riding on it, so we don't want to leave anything to chance. Because we don't want to leave anything to chance, therefore what? Therefore, Lemaisa, we only go ahead and we only go ahead and have the messengers dispatched after the Beis Din absolutely says Mekudash. Therefore, this is how the Gemara is reconciling the contradiction. Because remember, again, the Mishnah said that for 2 months, you're permitted to go ahead and the Eidim are Mechalin as Shabbos. So the Gemara makes it sound like only for 2 months we go out. I'm sorry, and the Gemara also said, why those 2 months? Because those are the 2 months that the Shluchim go out for Surya. So the Gemara says, is that true? That for 2 months, again, Shluchim go out, and for 2 months, and for the, what about the fact that we learned before, 6 months they go out, which the Gemara says, no. There are two different groupings within that group of six. Yes, for 6 months, Shluchim are set out. But what's the difference? For 2 months, two of those months, for 4 of those months, the Shluchim leave when? At night, even before the Beis Din declares the new month. And for 2 of those months, the Shluchim only go out when? After the Beis Din has declared the new month. So the Gemara goes right here. Tanya Amelachri or Bryce that supports this. Akulan Yotzi Mi Ba'erev. On all of the months when the Shluchim go out, so they leave at night. On Nisan Ba'al Tishrei Atchishun Mi Beis Din Mekudosh. But for Nisan and Tishrei, we'll say again, the concern is that maybe for some reason Beis Din will have some type of change of heart. There'll be some other circumstance that will cause them to push off the declaration of the new month. And therefore, again, obviously, if the Shluchim go out with the wrong information, they've undone the entire Yom Tov system. So in order to avoid that, they don't leave until the Beis Din, actually hear Beis Din declared. Which I'll say, by the way, also makes sense before. Remember, again, going back to the story on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, when Levi came to Bavel, and Levi said, oh, enjoy your meal. By the way, it's Yom Kippur. And they said to Levi, you know, will you testify about this? And Levi said, I did not hear from the Beis Din Mekudosh. Remember, so now that makes a lot more sense. What Levi was saying is, listen, the Tishrei is one of the months where the Shluchim don't go out until they hear the Beis Din say Mekudosh to make sure definitively. I didn't hear them say Mekudosh. I'm almost 100% sure that I'm correct calendrically, but I did not hear them declare the new month. Because of that, I can't give you quote-unquote official testimony. So the Gemara goes weiter. Okay, we did that. Turn around. Minayin shemechalin aleinas haShabbos. How do you know? We'll say. Now the Mishnah told me that I am permitted to go. If I see the new moon, I am permitted to be mechal Shabbos in order to get to Beis Din and give proper testimony. So the Gemara says, how do you know that? From where do we know that from? That a witness who sees, that a person who sees the moon is permitted to be mechal Shabbos to go to Beis Din and give the testimony. Talmud Lomar. Eile moadei Hashem. Asher tikru'u osam b'mo'adam. Because the pasuk says, these are the appointed times of God, that you will declare them in their appointed times. So we'll say, look at Rashi. It's the third wide line in Rashi. Asher tikru'u osam b'mo'adam. What does it mean that you shall declare them in their appointed times? Hishirem, the Torah is warning us, shelo yavor hamoed shel zman kriyasan mikra kodesh dahainu kiddush bezen. So we'll say, the way the Gemara understands this pasuk is, Eile Moadei Hashem, these are the appointed days of Hashem, Asher Tikru'u Osam B'Moadam, and you must declare them in their right time. So Gemara is saying this is not just a reference to Yamim Tovim, this is a reference to Rosh Chodesh, to the actual declaration of the months, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns us to be vigilant in declaring these months in the right time. The Gemara understands that what? That is the license for the witnesses to even be Mechal Shabbos, in order to allow Beis Din to declare the new month at the correct time. Yachol kishim shemechalin ad she is kachu, kach mechalin ad she is kaimu. I might have thought that the license to be mechal Shabbos that allows witnesses to come to Beis Din so that Beis Din could go ahead and be mekadesh the chodesh also applies to what? To the shluchim, so that they could disseminate the information and allow everyone else to observe Yom Tov properly. Talmud Lomar asher tikru'u osam. Therefore, the pasuk says that you shall call them, you shall declare them. You can be Mechal Shabbos in order to enable the declaration in the right time via Tamechal Al Kium, but you may not be Mechal Shabbos to facilitate observance. So therefore, again, I both say the license for Chil Shabbos is limited to allowing the witnesses to get to Beis Din, to allow the Beis Din to make the declaration. Once the declaration is made, Shluchim are sent to disseminate the information, but for the dissemination of the information to enable proper observance, there is no license to go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos. So the Mishnah said, when the Beis HaMikdash stood, the witnesses were permitted to be Mechal Shabbos for every month in order to ensure that the proper sacrificial order for Rosh Chodesh was observed. So the Gemara says, Barishona hayu mechalin afal kulon. In the beginning, witnesses, again, this is, remember, to get to the Beis HaMikdash, to give testimony. Witnesses would be Mechal Shabbos for every single month in order to get to the Beis Din to give testimony about this, about the new moon, so that again, the Rosh Chodesh sacrificial order could be done at the right time. However, Beis Hamikdash, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Amar Leh Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I said to them, V'chi Yesh Karbon, is there a sacrificial order anymore that we have to be concerned about? And therefore the rabbis agreed, even though Rabbosai, technically speaking, remember, and I remember Rashi said that biblically you should be able to go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos for every single month. So that's what we just saw before. You must declare them in their time. Is the biblical license to be Mechal Shabbos to come to Beis Din to give testimony that you saw the new moon? And technically, that applies to which month? To which months? Every month. Every, right, you were starting with Tishrei. You were going to go through all 12. Every single month. However, again, what happens, says the Gemara, is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, now that there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, the truth is, there's no need to do it except for 2 months. Even though we have the license to do it, and this is what Rashi said before, even though we have the biblical license to do so, we will not do so. Why? Because the only month where it really has an impact on us are what? Which months? Tishrei and Nisan. Ultimately, again, because of Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and then Pesach, and ultimately Shavuos. But for every other month, the truth is there's really no halachic ramification of the previous, whether we know the actual calendrical tally of the previous month or not. Therefore, we do not allow witnesses to Mechal Shabbos except for Nisan and Tishrei. Chiyesh Karban, Yeskinu, therefore the rabbis established, Shelo Yehu Mechalin Ela Al Nisan Val Tishrei B'Avos. So also, despite the fact that biblically, with the witnesses who see the moon have the license to be Mechal Shabbos for every month, in order to get the Beis Din to give their testimony to declare the new month, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, we're only Mechal Shabbos for Nisan and for Tishrei. And again, remember, this is Dafka for what? To enable the witnesses to get to Beis Din, but there is no license for Chilul Shabbos when they send out the Shluchim, when they send out the messengers. Says the Mishnah, Bein Shenira Ba'olah, Bein Shalom Nira Ba'olah. This is a very interesting case. Now, whether the moon was clearly visible or the moon was not clearly visible, mechalalin alaves haShabbos. We allow the witnesses to mechal b'Shabbos. I mean, we'll say, let's say it's a perfectly clear night. It's a perfectly clear night. The moon is absolutely visible. I happen to live a long distance from Yerushalayim, and for me to get to Yerushalayim, I'm going to have to violate Shabbos. So I can easily say to myself, listen, with such a clear moon, it must be that what? Somebody much closer saw it also. And maybe in Yerushalayim itself, they saw it also. There's no need for me to be Mechal Shabbos. The Mishnah says we don't say that. Whether the moon was clearly seen or the moon was not clearly seen, you go ahead and what? In Mechal Shabbos. We'll say, you know, again, this is such an incredible paradigm with the Mishnah's point. And the Mishnah's saying is, you know, if you get into a situation where you assume, and this is such a yisod in communal matters, if you assume in communal matters that somebody else is going to take care of it, so what happens? Everybody assumes that someone else is going to take care of it. And Lameis, again, no one takes care of it. Therefore, the Mishnah says, I don't care how clear it looks to you. You know, do what you have to do and get to Beis Din. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Nira Ba'adol, Im Mechalin Avas HaShabbos. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says, no, if the moon is clearly visible, you may not be Mechal Shabbos. Because again, remember, the license for Chilul Shabbos is based on the assumption that you may be the only person who saw the moon. If you are not the only person who saw the moon, then you may not be Mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Maisa, there was a Maisa, Sha'abru Yosame Arbaim Zug. There was a Maisa once, and we'll say what happened. More than 40 sets of witnesses were coming to Yerushalayim to see the moon. The Ikvam Rabbi Akiva Balud. And Rabbi Akiva, it literally held them back in Lud. Right? So again, what Rabbi Akiva felt is, look, apparently it must have been a case of where the moon was very clear. Well, actually, the Gemara is going to discuss. We'll see it in tomorrow's daf. And Rabbi Akiva felt it's not appropriate. Why be Mechal Shabbos? See, held them back in Lud. What happened? So Shalchulo Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said, "Im atama Akiva sarabim." Rabbi Akiva, don't do that again. If you prevent the public from doing what they know they're supposed to do, nimtzis machshil la'asad lado. You will place a stumbling block before them for the future. In other words, what Rabbi Gamliel was saying is, look, you know what happens? Granted, we don't need 40 sets of witnesses, but let 40 sets of witnesses show up in Yerushalayim, even if they're Mechal Shabbos. Why? Because if you hold them back now, then what's going to happen next month? No one's going to come. So there's a matter of public policy at stake over here. Says the Gemara, my mashma, the high other lashon migli. How do we know that olil? That olil means clearly visible. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yavo, Amar Krakos, the pasuk says, Imros Hashem, Literally, Imaros Hashem, Amaros Tahoros. The sayings of God are beautiful, pure sayings. Kesef Tzaruf, like refined silver. Ba'alil La'aretz, like clear of the earth. Mizukak Shivasayim, refined multiple times, literally seven times. So we'll say, see from here that the word Ba'alil means clear. Okay. Rav Shmuel, Rav Shmuel said, Chat Amar, Nun Sha'ari Bino, Nivru Ba'alil. We'll say, just an aside. So they say the following. They say that there are 50 gates of wisdom that were created, 50 levels of wisdom created in the world. V'kulam nitnu l'Moshe chaser echad. And they were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu with the exception of one. Moshe Rabbeinu had 49 out of the 50. Shene emar batachsurim ma'at me'elukim. Because David HaMelech describes Moshe Rabbeinu in Tehillim as saying that he was just a little bit less than God. The Ribono Shel Olam possesses all of the gates of wisdom. Moshe Rabbeinu had 49 out of the 50. Bikesh Koheles limso divrei chefetz. So we'll say the Pasuk in Koheles says that Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech, wanted to find divrei chefetz. Divrei chefetz means words of delight. What does that mean? Bikesh Koheles lios kimosha. Shlomo HaMelech wanted to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. He wanted all of the, he wanted the 49 levels of wisdom. Yotze Sabas Kol Amra of heavenly voice came out and said, of heavenly voice came out and said, because, I'm sorry, Bikesh Vas Kol Amra lo, Vikasuv Yosher Divrei Emes. So we'll say here, quoting the Pasuk again from Tehillim, from Koheles, Vikasuv Yosher Divrei Emes, words of truth are recorded properly. What does it mean? Words of truth are recorded properly. What does the Torah say? V'lo kam novi od b'Yisrael kimosha. The words of truth that are recorded properly say, there'll be no other prophet like Moshe. Koheles, you want the 49 levels of wisdom? I'm sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu is unique. V'chad Amar, the other opinion said, b'neviim lo kam, b'malochim kam. The other opinion said, well, no, Shlomo HaMelech could be as great as Moshe. Why? Because the Torah only says, there will never be another prophet like Moshe. It doesn't mean that there can't be another king like Moshe. And therefore what? Elamani mekayim bikesh koheles linso divrei chefetz. So what does it mean when it says that Koheles sought out words of truth, but the words of truth are recorded properly? What happens? Bikesh koheles ladun dinan shebelev shelo be'edim v'shelo b'hasrat. Listen to this. Shlomo HaMelech, who was the wisest of all men, has such an acute wisdom that what? He wanted to be able to adjudicate cases without witnesses and without having to give warning to him. Meaning Shlomo HaMelech was able to discern the truth. He was able to discern the truth by talking to a person, by looking at a person, by observing a person. So he therefore wanted to adjudicate legal cases based on his intuitive understanding of the matter without witnesses and without going through the proper due process. Because therefore, again, Yatzas Abaskal V'Amro Lo, Abaskal, heavenly voice came out and said, because of Yosher Divrei Emes, words of truth are recorded properly. What does the Torah say? Api Shnayim Eidim. You might be very wise, but you still have to follow the protocol. And the Torah says that matters of legality are only established through two witnesses. So we'll say that was just a little agada to break. Well, Lem Yartz Hashem, tomorrow morning, resume on the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Oh, tomorrow, Rosh Chodesh. Thank you. So again, Rosh Hashanah, we start at 5:45 tomorrow. 5:45. No das atzmecha.